Hey everybody, and welcome to On Call with Justin, Jack, O'Danny, and Inca. Welcome to part two. About failure. Why are we so enthusiastic? Why is there so much energy talking about
failure? Electric bungalow.
Okay. No, it also gets somber later
electric
on.
Electric boogaloo.
It also gets somber. We're also gonna get to these tender moments sometimes. You need these tender moments. But Danny, why don't you tell us what to expect and your biggest failure in this episode?
On today's episode, we will have the opportunity to uncover the marvelous mysteries of your face. And also, you will see my failure to let people finish what they're saying.
Jacko!
Well, we can expect, I think people can expect, and if you're listening from the first episode, you can expect that we're not going to fail this time around to finish this episode on this topic. Inca.
Oh, this episode got spicy. That's something you can expect. It's a little firecrackery. And also, I don't know, we delve deeper into this issue of failure as we finish up the questions that so many of you sent in to help us kind of unpack the word. So thank you very much. And I hope that you really enjoy this episode.
All the questions came from our Facebook group On Call with Justin, Jack, O'Danny, and Inca. Podcast on Facebook. So join that group if you want to ask us your questions and be part of the community. And who knows, maybe your question will be the basis for our next episode. Hey everybody, welcome to On Call with Justin,
Jacko,
Danny,
and Inca.
On Call with Justin, Jacko, Danny, and Inca.
Is that a question?
Your face.
Should we laugh?
Your face.
Should we laugh when someone fails? Is that how we react, Danny?
Oof.
Your face.
That's why are you like that, Danny?
Yeah.
How come you're laughing at people who are failing? Why are you like, you know naman they're having a hard time, Danny. And then you're kicking them when they're done laughing at them. Ha ha ha, you're failing.
Your face.
You're hurting their feelings, kasi.
Damn.
Whoa. Okay. Gosh.
Yeah, your face is fine.
Your face is fine. But you know what? Fine. Let's start, shall we? Because last week, we ended on a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger, yes.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, sure.
I shared something, you know, kind of personal, kind of deep, you know? And then Inca was like, aha, I have something that can match that. But we will say it in the next episode. Alas, it is now this next episode of which she spoke. So, Inca.
Yes.
Last time.
Your face
is beautiful.
Thank you.
Your face.
You, Justin, never failed to make me smile.
Thank you. I hope you have the best freaking week ever.
You
it's
too.
Like a compliment.
We were just talking about the last episode, how you are going to bounce back your face.
Bounce back your face.
Okay, yeah, last episode, Justin was talking about, you know, he shared a very personal story of his and what he learned from it. And so, I wanted to relate it with my own story too, because like in the last episode, I talked about how my not being able to finish high school and not being able to go to college is usually seen as a failure in the eyes of society, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Because it's going to be hard to get anywhere. And trust me, I always talk about how like, but look at me now and all that stuff, what I was able to achieve despite this and all that stuff. But really, while I was in the thick of things, I was scared. I was worried because, you know, I didn't grow up thinking I can make my own way. I was what, like 17, 18? And I was thinking, my gosh, how am I going to get a job? Like, I want to help my parents. At that point, our studio had just burnt down.
Yeah.
So my parents didn't have a lot of cash flow. And we were still paying for so many other fees and all these things, which was one of the reasons why I chose to drop out of school.
Yep.
So their limited income would kind of be funneled into my siblings' education. Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, I want to be able to help my parents because I'm almost an adult. I already am, but I can't get a job. I don't have a diploma. I don't have any work experience. And seriously, I was so scared. I was frightened. I was like, what is going to happen to me? And I was in that hole for a few weeks. Yeah. And then what made me bounce back from that was the realization that, yeah, that's a dead end. You know, what am I going to do about it? There's nothing to do. If I wanted to walk the path of people with a diploma, that's not going to happen. So I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to give up on that. And you know what? I'm just going to have to make my own way because there's no other choice at that point. There's no other choice for me. So what made me bounce back was I had no, literally, you know, when they say there's no place to go but up, there's nowhere else to go but up. That's what happened. I was just like, I guess.
And that's a literal bounce back. You know what I mean? Like you went rock bottom, basically.
I was I was 18.
And that must have been like difficult, at least at that time, to be in that situation because you had nothing else to do but be in that situation.
Yeah. I had to make my own opportunities. I had to try to find a way. I think that's why I got so used to trying to look for different ways to do things. Like the guy said, I started everyday voiceovers to showcase the different deliveries that I could do as a voiceover so I could get more jobs. It's because I got so used to kind of figuring out a different way to do things.
It's an enterprising move.
Thank you. But it's like adapting. You know, you're kind of working with the cards that you were dealt. I was just wasting energy being so distraught about something that I can't have. You know what I mean? So instead of wasting my energy further dwelling on that, I was just like, you know what? Let's just do something else.
Yeah.
I read the book, The Art of War by Sun Tzu.
I have that.
They say like there are 7 things that you have to prepare for in battle. Just a list of 7 things. It's before you attack a new challenge, commit to paying the price. Number 1. Number 2, over plan and prepare. Number 3, win the battle of your mind first. Number 4, break down big tasks into small ones. 5, be flexible with methods, not results. 6, burn the boat. And that's the one I'm going to expound on. 7, expect the best and prepare for the worst. All 7 are sensational, but my favorite is burn the boat, which comes from a Julius Caesar, Roman emperor who sat down to conquer England. Basically, what they mean by burning the boat is you have to dedicate to no other choice but winning.
Yeah. So the boat would be like your escape boat, right?
Your
so
retreat. Your retreat.
So you're burning like, your escape boat so that you have no other choice but to
triumph.
Succeed and move forward. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like what you were saying. There's nowhere else but up, right? Yeah. You literally, by choosing to stop school, you were burning your boat.
Yeah, basically. You know? I had to work. It was either work or become a bum.
Right. And they said in The Art of War that when you do that, you actually increase your chances of success because now you have no safety net and now you have that burning passion to actually succeed.
It's like, and I did. It's like Batman in The Dark Knight Rises, right? He was trying to climb out of the well, right? And he was wearing the rope. So he was wearing the rope. And then he tried to jump that ledge, that seemingly impossible gap, right? And he just couldn't make it. He kept falling. And then so Batman asks some old dude there, like, how did that kid do it? And then he said, he did it without the rope. So Batman's like, all right, okay. No rope.
He had no other
Let's
choice.
Do it.
We losing the
basically,
rope.
Yeah. It's basically like trapeze artists, right? Like in a way, like you have to catch. You have to do it.
Yeah.
Like there's no safety net.
It's like, what if I can't? Like, no,
Robin.
You have to.
you have to.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I guess it is an unfortunate situation as well that there are people like in your situation that you had to.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Failure is not an option.
Failure was not an option. I mean, there was no other option.
Yeah. I had an extra pressure because I'm the eldest, right? So as the eldest child, I'm literally the eldest
society,
daughter of the eldest daughter and the eldest son. My parents are both the eldest.
You're the eldest cousin. So, you're the
I am the eldest cousin. Yeah. I am the
Makes
eldest granddaughter.
You're pretty old pala, no?
That must make you. Let me do the math on that.
You're old. Medyo daming eldest.
Let me simplify it. Let me simplify it. There's one quote in grade school, and I think this made me, if I'm not mistaken, it was Tom Cruise who said it. But in life, it's either you sink or you swim. And that really stuck. Like, I had that in grade school, and it really stuck with me over time that to be successful, you just have to take the leap. Sometimes you're going to fail. Sometimes you're going to succeed. The burning of the boat is also significant in terms of you're taking away the fear. You're just like, I'm going to do it. And that way, you have that extra boost because you're not fearful. You're not afraid. You're not calculating. You're just, I'm going to do it. But for me, in general, I like calculated risks kasi, and a lot of people don't do that then. But yun nga, there are people kasi, like when you're a little bit more privileged than others and you have that, then yeah, you could do that. Diba? But there are people, sure, you know, in Inka's situation that they have no choice but to succeed. And if you don't, wala.
Something I wondered about so much was when, you know, how there would be people who in high school pa lang, parang patapon yata tong tao na to, wala yatang future, ganyan, diba? And then biglang they get pregnant early or they have children early, whether boy or girl. And then all of a sudden, their life turns around and they become super successful.
Yeah.
Right?
Because they have to be.
And because now, it's not about them anymore. It's about this other life, diba? And they have no choice but to make money, to be successful.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like the burn the boat mentality as well.
And it wasn't even like, you know, burn the boat. It's the boat burned down. Okay, now what do we do?
Yeah. That's okay. What happened to me. Yeah. The studio burned down. Okay,
oh, yeah.
What do I do?
Oh,
literally.
Burned the studio yung kay Inkad.
We're in the studio.
I was going to talk a little bit about making wise choices so you don't have to end up in a situation where you have to burn the boat. Mm. You know what I mean? So that's a different thing. Yeah. That's a whole...
Yeah. No, that is when you have the options. Because there are people that, again, going back to Inka's situation, she had no option, right? Yeah, no other option. And the option wherein you're going to have to burn the boat. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're in a better position, you're in a privileged position, you can do it without burning the boat to give yourself that boost of extra confidence. Yeah. It's really about learning from people who have burnt that boat.
Right? Going back into the art of war, right? Number one on the list, if you're remember, was before you attack a new challenge, commit to paying the price. So I think you burn the boat knowing that that's a challenge you wanted to be in to begin with.
It's more that you know what the cost is, literally the sunken cost. You know what you're giving up.
Battle you chose. And by burning the boat, you're declaring that you have no other plan but to succeed.
To win. That's also hard, because sometimes people do that. They put all their eggs in one basket and that's the reason they fail, right?
Yeah.
Is it the right basket? That's probably one of the most important questions, right? Because again, it branches out there.
Everything you're saying is being answered here. Let's see, go, Joss.
Great, thank you.
I feel like, you know what, Joss? We should just read the art of war right now because everything you're going to say right now
is answered there. Here.
Awesome.
Because it says be flexible with your methods, not your results.
Yeah.
Diba? So basically, your result has to stay true. But with regard to not putting all of your eggs in one basket,
you can
be flexible, but the result has to be solid. You know what
the
I mean?
The end goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, but then here, oh no. But then we go into the Machiavellian territory.
Yeah.
Right? I was just going to say the end justifies the means,
you know? Which, and I don't necessarily subscribe to that either.
It doesn't necessarily have to be like that all the time.
Yeah.
What's a real world scenario game?
Yeah.
Great minds.
Real world scenario.
No, okay. The real world scenario is this, right? And I may be butchering Machiavelli in this one, right? But end justifies the means. Mm. I always thought that also included stealing, breaking the law, stealing, etc. Right? It's like by any means necessary. I will kill, I will steal, whatever I need to do to get there.
Yeah.
Robin Hood, basically.
It's a very villainous kind of.
Yeah.
It's a very cold-blooded ideology.
Immoral,
right? Because this is why a lot of people
could
subscribe to it, because they go to it because, you know, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm willing to do all of that. I believe in ethics. I believe in morals. Mm. You know what I mean?
I think that's where it has to anchor. So I think that's where it all begins. Your moral code. What to you is right? What to you is wrong? And that's also here, number three, win the battle of your mind first.
We should just have a whole episode on Sun Tzu, right? Like that.
Yeah. It's the best book when discussing the topic of failure because
in war,
failure is like you cannot fail or else you lose like your country or you know what I mean. So I guess what it's saying in win the battle of your mind first is your moral code. Yeah, nah. it doesn't end with the ends justify the means. It's also, what is that end to you? And is it morally upright with your moral code or standard of living, diba?
The means more, yeah. I feel. Because the end,
I agree.
The end could be, I want to feed my children.
Mm.
But
the means could be mean.
Yeah.
I guess that's also why it's in that.
Okay, so again, we're going back to Tina's question, which is, what was a turning point to bounce back from a major failure in your life?
And we think it was literally, she had no choice.
I had no choice.
Right?
Yeah.
She had no choice.
She burned the boat.
How about for you guys? We're talking about the turning point. What was the turning point? Not how you bounce back.
Yeah. What was it for you, Inka?
It was my devastation that I would never be qualified to get any job here in the Philippines. So I would never be able, by traditional or conventional standards, be able to help my family.
Yeah, my turning point was, remember losing my scholarship?
Yes, okay. From the last episode, yeah.
Yeah, just losing my scholarship. My family wasn't in a financially
comfortable
place. I mean, study in DLSU at least, right? So I had to find a way to make it for myself. And I met Danny, sabi niya, open-minded ka ba? Sabi ko, sige naman.
Peace.
Okay. What about you, Danny?
Yeah, so now it's you and Jaco.
Okay. I guess for me, like, there have been so many turning points because, like I said in the previous episode, there have been so many failures in my life.
What is the commonality between all those turning points?
The decision to take control.
Mm.
The decision to take control. No matter what the scenario is, no matter where you are, it's the realization that the only person responsible for your fate is yourself. And the only person who has the authority to change the direction of your boat is you. So turning point. For me, the most recent was my weight loss. That was the most recent. I guess that's the best example I could give. The turning point was when I looked at myself in the mirror and I questioned every area of my life, as discussed on the last episode. And I basically said, well, there are a lot of things I can't control, but out of the things that I can, what is the easiest and what can I start today?
Mm.
And that was basically, I can do 5 push-ups.
Yeah.
Diba? And then that kind of snowballed into the other things that opened doors, gave opportunities, and paved the way again for me to pick myself up.
For the benefit of those who didn't get to listen to the previous episodes, and it's your first episode, hi, welcome, thank you. Danny lost 87 pounds during this lockdown.
Yeah.
87, right? Was it 87?
Well, if it's kg na 40, the 80 yung...
Oh, yeah, is there 82 something? More or less.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what? I think we go back to learning from other people, learning from ourselves. I think the turning point all the time for me is because I know that I can. And when I say that, I mean, I always believe in the idea that it doesn't matter how many times you fall, but it matters how many times you get back up. And you are going to fall. Like with Danny, you failed a lot of times. So have I. Failure is a part of life. And so if you make the comeback bigger than the setback, you always know that there's going to be that point that even if you have nothing, like what Inka's situation was like, you have nothing, all you could do is go up. So if you put yourself down and you stay down, then you're always going to be down. And I've always kind of lived like that. I've always believed that when you're down, you can always get back up. Unless you're like literal dead or something, right? Like,
yeah.
Or really immobilized or whatever. And even people who are, you know, there are people with less than what we have who have bounced back up. Like, there's no excuse. There are people who have done more with less. And I understand that more now than I did before. That like, look, there are factors like our own physical and mental health, right? Like there are people that are just, you can't say the same thing for everyone, you know, and be like, you know, you should do this, you should do that. But I've always believed that if you have that ability, or at least in your head, you know, you could do it, you are going to be able to do something, you know, like if you start with that one little victory. And I guess that's also part of my bouncing back, is that I count the little things,
for sure.
Because those are things that, you know, you have to pat yourself on the back. As we said
always.
The last episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I think, my mentality. It starts with that mentality so that whenever it happens, you know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Or, you know what? Some people, they find a dead end and they just create a new opening.
Yep.
You know, like, diba? That's how it is. I feel like anyone, and this is not because, like, you know, again, you don't want to be like, oh, you're thinking positively. Like, no, I have to wallow in my...
You don't
want to
be preachy about it, right? Mm. Yeah.
It's not about being preachy na nga eh. Like, the more I hear it, the more I hear the argument against it, the more I'm like, it's about opening your idea to a new perspective. And when you start doing that, you start to get all these quotations from other people, all these learnings, all this wisdom from other people, the more you're realizing na, yeah, there is something out there. It's not the end of the world. Unless it's the actual end of the world, then talagang wala. Sorry, GG, diba? But, you know, yeah, it's really that. You have to have that mentality. You have to have a mentality that you can get past anything. Even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, if you start in the right direction or point yourself in the right direction, you don't have to rush. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yes.
You know,
always.
Like, and maybe the most important thing I could impart would be, don't compare your successes to other people's success. Failure and success, actually both of them are highly subjective.
Super true. Relative.
Diba? Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is failure anyway? Like, I mean, we go back to that. Like, what is failure? Is it a societal failure? Like as Inka said, not going to school is deemed a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah, I just wanted to share. I'm currently reading a book that was written in the 1940s. It's called The Pursuit of God by A.W. Tozer. He's like one of the heavyweight Christian writers of like that decade, that time. So I'm reading in like the first chapter, it's super paraphrased now, but like so many people are preoccupied with the fruits of success as opposed to success. So it's like he was saying that if you don't see the fruits of success, you think that you are not successful.
Ah, yes.
You get it? So, yeah. So to him, his definition was this. If today I'm starting my work day and today I choose to do my best for God and to do my best for my countrymen, to do my best for my company, whatever it is, then I'm already a success. And then the effect of doing that consistently would be, well, I get higher pay, I get more opportunities, all these things. I get the acclaim. These are the fruits of success, not success itself. You're saying something like this in a past episode, Dan Jax, about when you're talking about Paper Bug and how, you know, you're not the biggest channel or whatever, but we are a success. And so just wanted to throw that in there, that there should be that distinction, that there's success and then there are fruits of success.
I feel exactly the same way about my work. And this is something I always tell when people ask, what's your advice for budding content creators or people who want to start? My thing has always been and still stands today, just keep making your stuff. Because for me, I started making my relaxation videos to help people calm down from anxiety, and they only got like 1,000 views or something, even on TikTok. Because when I started posting them, like I didn't have a lot of followers yet. And people were always like saying, why don't you have more followers? You deserve all the likes and all these things. And I said, you know what? I just said, it's okay. Because you saw it and it helped you. So immediately, like my video is already a success. Like it succeeded because that's what I meant for it to do. And then my platform grew. Those are the fruits of my success.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have always been successful. Yep.
Yeah. I believe in that 100%. Like I feel like, especially content creators, especially the young ones, like they navigate the world based on the fruits.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
so
many
people on TikTok now.
I want subscribers.
Yes. Yeah? So many of my TikTok mutuals, they're panicking because their views are going down. They're losing followers. And it's just like, I understand. But they're seeing themselves as a complete failure because they equate all these things to success.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's bearing down on their self-esteem and all that stuff. And I even had to talk to Jacko about it because it was affecting me.
I remember.
For sure, especially at that scale.
I am not impervious to that.
And that's the thing. We all, at one point, will feel like we're failing.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? And this is why you got to reflect. This is why you got to look at what you're doing. Where, you know, you only look back to see how far you've come. And even kanina, before the show started, I was like, grabe, no? We've been doing this for a year. We didn't really care why, obviously the fruits, we didn't really care much when we started it. We just liked hanging out and doing recording. We didn't even monetize it. We didn't, you know what I mean? And now we have a top 20 podcast, at least in the trend list. We're on the top 200, or I think we're 140 something or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter, but it's like, it's great to see.
Great
and we have like 400 people in our group, right? Like, and we have a channel. But if you look at it, why do we do it? I think whenever we get these emails of how grateful people are personally, and I'm sure for everyone here, we feel like we've succeeded in helping that one person. And that's why we did it in the first place. And you know what it is? It boils down to, what is your KPI? Like, what would be the key performance indicator? What would make you successful? You decide that. And if it's something that's like numbers and whatever, you've already failed, I feel like. I mean, failed in a world sense, because someone somewhere will always have more than you.
True.
Yep.
Someone somewhere is always going to have more numbers. If you think you're the top creator right now, you're not going to be the top creator in a short time. Yeah. I mean, there's so many things that could happen, you know, like the algorithm can change. Everybody's so like, like for me, why do you do it? Why do you create content? Why do you make videos? You know, you want to make people laugh. We do this podcast because we want people to learn, or at least we want to find something through our conversation and share. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's why you do it. And if you're able to do it, you succeeded because that's what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And that's bigger. That's bigger for me. Hindi yun mababaw eh. Hindi mababaw eh. Malalim nga yun, di ba? That's like a very deep.
I think actually that indirectly answers the next question by Ruth, which is, how do you deal with the emotions that come with failure?
So again, the question is, how do you deal with
the emotions? I think indirectly it's answered by what you consider a success and a failure, which is relative to you, right? The emotions are influenced by the gravity of importance you give to whatever it is you're succeeding or failing in. And if you even are succeeding or failing in your book, right, then obviously you will be emotional about it if it's important to you. And what you give importance is really up to you. But the second part of the question is, what do you think is more brave? Striving to try again after failing, or admitting failure and deciding you've had enough?
That's a false dichotomy. I think both are. You know, it's not a trick question either. Both are brave. Like when you're...
You can do both.
True. That's true.
You can be both.
Yeah.
I think we've created a society wherein like these false dichotomies are a thing. You're either one or the other. What's better? What's not? I think you go with the result of that. Like if that helped you be better, then you've succeeded. Again, it goes back to that. Well, at least that's for me. I mean, with the question of how you deal with the emotion that comes with failure, that's heavy because it's always negative, right? You don't go with failure. It's like, yeah, I failed. That means I'm going to succeed after that. You know what I mean? When you fail, it sucks.
Super.
It sucks. Like, oh my gosh. You know what I mean? Like, in whatever way. Even basketball players in a championship game, imagine you're the top two teams in the league. You get to that finals, you work hard, you beat 99% of the teams, the last two standing. It sucks to be second place. It sucks to win the silver, because before I even had this idea that you didn't win the silver, you just lost the gold. Like, that was like the mentality at one point. And it's not true. Because you won something that everyone else, you know, below, you know, if you're looking at it at that, right? If you're in a competitive kind of stage, you know, second place is not losing first place. You're doing that. You're putting a lot of weight on yourself. It's not.
Value
you
is
won.
Value is relative, the right? Silver kills where wolves kaya.
Yeah, well, that's true. Silver.
So, the back.
That
what's
is
more
true.
Valuable, gold or silver? At the end of the day, the back. It's really
well, well, technically still gold.
Silver
I mean,
let's be frank.
Let's be frank. Gold is still more valuable. Again, we could always have we can go to the philosophical argument that, you know, money is just paper that humans put value on. But like gold, same thing. Can't really make stuff with gold. You know, you can make jewelry, I guess, and we put value in that. But I mean, to me, it's like, when you deal with the emotions of it, you just have to go through the motions. The motions of the emotion. Emotions, you know, like, you just have to go.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And you have to understand that things get better. You get better.
Yeah.
There's always a light at the end of the tunnel. No matter how long you think the tunnel is, there's always something there.
There's always the end of the tunnel.
Okay, that's beautiful. Yeah, there you go.
There's always the end of it. There's never a never-ending tunnel. There's always an end to any tunnel.
Unless the tunnel collapses, which that's a totally separate idea. But,
and there's always rainbow after the rain.
Ayon. And I think like knowing all of
and
these
the truth
things.
Against the fear
like,
and the pain, yeah.
Going through all the motions and stuff. I think that also kind of answers Golden's question, because she asks, how do you overcome the fear of failing? She says, I know there are lessons you learn along the way, but I can't help but feel that I could have avoided those failures.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, some failures are unavoidable, I guess, if you're on that path.
Yeah. it's not about avoiding the failures because they already happened. Age old saying, I don't, that was not spilled milk. It happened. I was doing work the other day and I messed up. And I was talking to one of my colleagues and she was like, you know what? Don't worry about it. We're already here, right? Like, let's try to solve what it is that happened. Like, don't sit too much on that because you're wasting too much time thinking about what could have happened rather than using the same time on
being
solving.
Productive.
Failures are unavoidable because they are that point in your life that would either make or break you.
Yep.
So the idea is you couldn't have avoided it because you can't change the past. And that's just a fact, right? We can't change the past, so you can't be like, oh, I could have avoided it. Hindi, nangyari, diba?
You think that a basketball player can make 100% of the shots they take?
Sabi nga ni Michael Jordan, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
How do you even get that good without practicing enough? And during those practices, you think they never miss the shot? I remember like when I worked for a call center as a sales representative where I was selling solar energy to California.
Dahil mong ginawa, no?
Yeah.
I was taking 400 calls. He's like the youngest guy here.
I was taking 400 calls a day. 400 calls. Outbound calls, talking to people who don't want to be telemarketed. That's the kind of mindset you have to realize when they're answering that call. Are you a telemarketer? They're always like that, right? Like, and somehow, you know, I still, a couple of months that I was there, I managed to be top agent. But the thing is, my top agent, you know, being the top agent was 10 sales. 10 sales in a day out of 400 calls. So what am I trying to say here? I got how many no's to get those 10
390.
Yeses?
390.
How many
failures?
How many stupid telemarketer? No, I'm not interested. How many of those before I got just 10? Yeah, I'll do it.
And that's part of the job, diba? That's basically number one on Sun Tzu's kind of list. What does it say? Do you have
one,
it?
Number one is before you attack a new challenge, commit to paying the price.
Commit to paying the price. You know that you're going to get no. Yeah. The worst that can happen is the person says no, right? And then you move on. If you beat yourself up on the idea that someone said no, then you're wasting time trying to find someone who's saying yes. You know, you move on.
Yeah.
And you keep going.
I remember back in the day when Danny and I were networking, right? So one of the staples in the presentation before were like something like, they gave out a statistic, something like, out of all of the flyers that you give out, only 10% of them are actually going to call you up, right?
Right.
And out of the 10% that do call you up, probably only about 1% of those will actually sign up.
Right, right.
Yes,
something like that, right? So I remember them saying like, oh wait, bumigay na ako nung 50 flyers, wala pa rin. Okay lang kasi malapit na yung 10% na yan. Sige, bigay pa rin ng flyers.
Yeah, one more no is closer to that yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So each no you get, you don't feel bad. Yeah. Be excited because that means yes, konting no na lang.
So it's magkakayas
na ako.
You can think of that in terms of failure. Like each failure you encounter takes you closer to your success.
Exactly.
No, but don't look at it in like statistics, huh? Because I think that's when you're like, okay, I've had 390.
Yeah, it's not a ratio. There's no ratio.
Not the idea.
But basically, failure is stepping stones to success.
Yeah. But here's another thing. If in each of those dealings, you gave your 100%, then I think that changes things, Jaco.
Yeah, I guess
you still gave your 100% in each of those. It's not like you were expecting a no or trying to blotch it.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly.
And as simple as practice makes perfect, man. Each time I took a call, like whatever it is, the easiest is the call because I was doing 400 a day, right? So each time I got a call, I didn't know how to answer a specific question. During the next time it's ringing, I'm already thinking, paano ko sasagutin yun? How will I answer that in a way that it'll be bulletproof? After like 2 weeks of just 400 calls a day, literally, yo, if you get on the phone call with me, you're in trouble. You know? Whatever it is you thought of, I probably have, you know, a comeback
all
for
the answers,
you know?
Nah, like, put it this way. I've been playing, the past couple of months, I've been playing chess.
Yeah.
And
I noticed on your stories.
Yeah, that's all I play right now. And the thing is, chess is basically made up of more moves, I think, than like stars in the galaxy or something like that. Anyway, look it up. But the thing is, you can learn from every time you play, you learn.
A little
bit. Every time you, you know what I mean? And then eventually you're kind of getting better and better and better because you keep doing it. You keep having a very good mindset about it. You're not oh, I got beaten in four moves. You're never going to be beaten in four moves again.
Exactly.
Because you study it.
Going back, how do you overcome the fear of failing? Don't be afraid of it. Embrace it.
Don't be afraid. Yeah, embrace it.
And it's going to make you become what you want to become.
It's going to make you better.
Yeah,
exactly.
If you make it, but you have to have that mentality. Yeah. You have to have the mentality that I'm going to learn and I'm going to be better.
This is all under the assumption that you are going down the right path. Right?
Mm.
You're going down the right path. Mm. Hopefully, you're totally ethical and moral in how you're doing things. You have the right motives as well. It's not just for yourself. You know, you want to help. This is what I wanted to touch, actually, is that like when it comes to work, it has to come from a place of service. Like you have to want to give this service. Because if it, once you lose that, then you're only going to think about yourself. You're only going to think about statistics. You're only going to think about, oh, okay, I didn't get the sale, or I didn't get, you know, these many followers today or whatever. It's with every piece of content that I put out, or with every sales call, every sales pitch, whatever it is, did that sales pitch, did that piece of content help the end person?
Right.
Yeah.
And even if they said no, you still win because you helped them in some way.
Right.
That's what your KPI should be in the first place. Mm. That should be the number one thing that you should be doing. You're doing it not, I mean, service is great as well, but there are other things that are very positive, very, how do you say it? It's not subjective anymore, because if you do help someone, you do know you've helped that person. It's not like, oh, I think I helped that person. No, you did. It's a very quantifiable result.
So failures can be avoided. But at the end of the day, you don't really want to not fail at all.
If you've never failed, you've never tried.
Right.
That goes back to the, you miss 100% of shots you don't take.
Imagine if every shot Michael Jordan took, shoot lahat. No.
Ito. Okay. Let me read something.
It's not exciting yung game, diba?
It would be very exciting.
I think if I'm not mistaken, this was from a commercial. But here's my favorite Michael Jordan quote. And I was a child when I heard this one. He said, I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I've failed over and over and over again in my life, and that is why I succeed.
Boom.
Yeah.
To bring it back, because most of the other questions here are pretty much the same. What is our definition of success, diba? We look at these guys, the Jordans, the Kobes. If you're the type of person that compares yourself all the time to other people, you look at them and you put them up on a pedestal, not knowing that it took so much to bring them there. So much failures as well. Most of the time, these are people that have had to go through some sort of failure to succeed.
Yeah. You know how many times I messed up so many words on live events as the live voiceover?
That's tough, dude.
Is it like one of those voiceovers where in like you're supposed to be kind of the recorded one? You know when you do it for like the
each and every time. So when you make a mistake, it's like
it's so palpable.
It's so obvious. And it's just like
I think I shared this already. I'm not sure if it was on Spotify or on one of the live episodes, but I was the host for Food Banda's like grand launch in the Philippines. Like their first ever grand launch. Uh-huh. And then it was sponsor time, diba? So host everyone. Yeah. Diba? So I said all the sponsors galing-galing ko eh, diba? Right? And I said everything, and then there was a dancing panda pa. There was a dancing panda in front of me. And of course, our main sponsor for the event, and then the panda's right in my face, and I'm just like, I forgot the name of the... Eh, hindi pa yung sikat si Food Panda then. You know, like, it was a new brand. But of course, I made it up to them after that, right? As much as possible. They never got me again.
It happens,
right?
It happens.
But that's part of it.
So we've been tackling this. I think we pretty much dissected as much as we could. But there's one question, I think, that we have yet to answer. Rico asks us, when will you consider if something is already a failure? So I'd like to rephrase this a bit, right?
Okay.
So in failure versus knowing that this certain avenue or medium is not for me anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So it's because, for example,
good.
I change career. Let's say I'm a radio DJ and I'm like, I'm going to change career. Does it mean I failed at being a radio DJ? And so I need to try something else. So I kind of want to make that distinction right now, right? Definitely when it comes to the general things, providing for your family, shaping your character, moving up the ladder, all these things, definitely keep going up, fail if you must, as long as you're, you know, on the right track, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now on the question of when do I shift gears to a different avenue?
Pivot.
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 So that's the question now. When can I consider that this venture of mine, I should probably leave it alone and try something else?
That's a good one, because that's really personal. You know, like, you have to weigh out so many things. It's not a simple black and white kind of decision. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I suggest that you write it out, right? There are pros and cons. You write out pros and cons. And I believe in the net positive, as we were talking about in a different conversation.
A net winning.
Yeah. Cheers. So if the pros outweigh the cons of it, so heavily outweigh the cons,
yeah,
then obviously that's how you could decide. But to answer your question, as I said, failure is something that you decide, and you only really, really fail if you quit. And quitting doesn't mean quitting that one thing, right? It's quitting everything. But if you feel like you're going to pivot, I'm like, okay, you know what? This is not for me. And that's not failure. If I'm going to do something about it, if I'm going to learn from that quote unquote failure and do something with it, do something different and find another way, you're also weighing out your situation. If it's something that's not working and you cannot afford to keep kind of going down that path, it's not anymore a matter of the last key opens the lock. Like, you know, you got to be smart.
Yeah.
Because there are things you need to do. You need to feed your family. You need to do this. You need to do that, right?
Like there are instances where sticking it out would make you the failure.
Ooh, yes. Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is. And again, we are all dealt a different set of cards. Some of us are not even dealt 52. You know what I mean? Like, some of us are dealt, for some reason, we got three decks, right? Like, great. You know, some people barely have any cards to hold. I go back to this often. There are people who were given less who have done more. So the question is, what's your excuse?
Nakasindak naman yun.
Your face.
Your face is your excuse.
Sorry.
No.
That could have been an ad,
I never
bro.
Understood.
Like, what's your excuse?
We go back to a feeling of failure, right? Like, it sucks. So what do you change first? You change your mentality first.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't suck as bad. That's where it starts. It starts with how you think. Because how you think affects everything else.
Yeah.
The power of the mind is so great. That's why I love talking to people in this group. That's why I love talking in general. Well, madaldal lang talaga ako. But like, the reason why I love gaining knowledge is because I'm looking at different perspectives that I might miss. Even me, like, I don't think I'm right 100% of the time. I'm probably right only 30%. But that's why I keep trying to learn, you know, like trying to see a different side of it, because that keeps me going.
Did you know that in the practice of magic, kasi, diba, you can have all these tools, like you have your incense, you have your herbs, you have your
rabbits,
candles, you
your
have
hats.
Your
hats. Your...
No, that's a different...
Iba yun. And like, you have your cards and your crystals and all these things. And they all help. But all of the books and all of the practitioners will tell you that your most powerful magical tool is your mind. Because you can do without all of those things. All of those things only enhance what you have here. In the same way that all these things like school or experiences, they just enhance what you already have. They supplement you. They help you. But really, at the end of the day, if you don't use any of these tools because you're not doing anything up here, then it's useless.
I can do magic.
And you know what? Okay. Just to go on that point, I've seen a lot of posts about these billionaires or success stories, and everybody's like, yeah, but you know, he had mommy money, or he had a great investment.
For me,
instead of trying to pull Lushatan. Them down because... Huh?
Lushatan. You look at the story of Lushatan.
Henry C.
or Henry C.
Henry C. No. I mean, I was looking at like Jeff Bezos or even Bill Gates. Right? They were like, oh, but he got a loan. Like, yeah, but I mean, you look at the idea of what they did rather
he
than...
He still went ahead and got the loan. What did you do?
Yeah,
correct.
Exactly. He still did something.
Your face.
Your face, yeah.
You did your face.
No, because that really goes to show, what is your mindset? Put it this way. Put the same people in the same situation. Those people are still going to succeed. And there are people like athletes. And this is actual statistics, right? There are football players. There are millionaires. There are lottery winners that have all squandered their money. That have all went down to zero. Right? It doesn't. it's not a reason. It's really your mindset. Like, how do you get to one place or the other? It's really a situation.
So many people
is great,
had mommy money that they lost.
Exactly.
Didn't do anything with.
And to Inka's point, like, if you're given something, if you have something that a lot of people don't have, sometimes you have to use it because it is what you're given, right? You deal with the cards that you're dealt, right? And you try to win with whatever that you have.
No, but again, the question was, how do you know when it's time to give up this venture?
Okay, yeah. I would say my answer is kind of selfish, but I think the ultimate pursuit in life is to be happy, diba? What we want at the end of the day is our happiness, and that doesn't really have to be much, you know? It doesn't have to take a lot to make you happy. But the question that you should ask, with which I would answer that question with this question, is, does it still make you happy?
Yeah, that and... how do I know when to quit when it's really affecting my mental and physical health?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which probably means you're not happy anymore.
Yeah.
If you're happy and you know it,
and you
clap
know
your
it,
hands.
Clap your hands. Yeah.
I also have another one there. It should be peer validation also.
That is true.
You
that
need
true.
To know from other people. Okay, peer and maybe even like mentor validation. Mm-hmm. Let's say radio, right? I want to be a radio DJ. I want to be the best radio DJ ever. But... listen to me, Nathan, you want to be a radio DJ in an English-speaking FM station, right? But you just not good at speaking English, right? No, but I have to do it. And then people are telling you, trust me, like, for you to get here, it's going to take you like maybe decades of constant practice. And it's just not worth your time right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's that validation from the higher-ups and your peers also, right? Because there is a healthy amount of... most people aren't successful, so don't listen to most people. Diba?
Like, right.
Right? This is... probably one of the first times, well, Justin does this a lot to me. So this is one of the first times I'm going to do it to Justin. I disagree. Oh!
I disagree. Do you know what I really want to do? I really want you to let me finish my point. Can you let me finish what I'm saying first?
Because I said to Will Smith, don't ever let me tell you what you can and cannot do in pursuit of happiness. And that he was technically the mentor of Jaden in that movie, diba?
I think both of you are right.
I hate you!
No, wait, let's finish my point! Justin, what is your...
What was your point, finish it up.
Finish it up.
What's your point? Say your point.
That is it. Na parang I feel like the people that you consider your mentors or your peers, that you're saying na their opinion should matter in your decision of whether or not it's something that you should continue to do, right? I feel like I disagree with that point in the sense that these people may know better, but a lot of people also succeeded in the things that they were told they couldn't do. You know?
No, albeit that is correct. I would say, actually, to Danny's point, that I disagree with that. Oh. Because I think, and then Inka would disagree with me, and then we'll just have a round of disagreement. And we all disagree. And you know what? This is failure. I disagree with that because I think one of the things I hate the most is uncoachability. And it's because when someone is mentoring anyone, that comes from a good place. And yes, they know more. I think that fact in itself is something that you should weigh out. To say that they know more and I'm going to prove it wrong. I'm going to, you know, it also shows hubris. It shows hubris in the person. Yabang. Diba yabang?
Yeah.
It's that hubris that I will not put down my opinion and I would not back down what I think because I feel I'm better. I will prove I'm better. And that's hubris. That's a failure in itself. The failure in itself is, and I get it. One of my favorite quotes is, I mean, to paraphrase it, it's like, you know, I love proving people wrong. And I do. Yeah. Doesn't mean that I am not going to listen to people that tell me that, hey, you might be going the wrong way. Because if you can't listen to those people, then you're probably going to go the wrong way. Because they're not there to tell you, I'm better than you. They are. I mean, I'll give you that. Like, the reason why they know more is because they are better than you.
Yeah.
It's different motivations. But I would say that as long as their opinion is coming from a place of love and a place of, you know, mentorship, they want you to succeed. I mean, this is what a mentor is. They want you to be the best that you could be. They want you to be better than them.
Correct.
That is what a mentor is.
Yeah.
Like, the mentor's not there because I'm training you to be not as good as me. You know what I mean?
Nandiyan ka lang.
They want you to be better than them. And this is why they give you these directions. And there are, I mean, in sports and anything, there are the uncoachables. And I hate dealing with those people in general. And not, no offense to any of them, but it's just because, like, you know that quote when they say, like, oh, if you can't do, you teach? Oh, what?
Uncoachables.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely at one point in our lives, for sure, we're all, you know, cocky mavericks, right?
And I would agree with Justin on that one because I've been kind of a friend of Justin's for a while now. And there are things about Justin, and I think we've talked down to this in different episodes, that I'm like, just do this.
Yeah.
It's fine. And they're like, no, you know what? I don't do this way.
Yeah.
And this is from Justin. I'm asking Justin not to like flatter myself or whatever, because I kind of know what the answer would be anyway. But did I ever stop thinking that you could do something else or you could do something? No.
No.
I always see Justin as like, hey, I'm going to keep mentoring you, even though you don't follow some of the things. Because you know what? Sometimes Justin does. The fact that I told Justin, like, let's buy a board. I know I'm not the greatest guy to, like, you know, to follow through.
Yeah.
But let's get the board. But we're here right now.
Yep.
Diba? And it's really annoying. You got to listen to people. And I love mentoring people. And the main reason is because I've realized that true happiness is being happy for the success of others. And so I love seeing people succeed. I feel like I'm a part of that. You rise by lifting others.
Yeah, you rise together.
You rise together, yeah. And I'm not trying to prove anyone. I'm not trying to like, oh, I'm better. I mean, obviously when we're doing Kahoot or something, like I gloat. Like I'm just like
obviously,
silently
I'm
gloating.
I'm the number one player.
I'm smart. You know, like I know that. But I want people to be better than me always. And I am happy to see anyone succeed. So to your point about it, both of you, I guess, like, well, Justin and Ginger's point, I don't know. I would say.
Oh yeah, no, because no. You butted in there.
Sorry.
No, but it's ano talaga. Like, to be honest, you have to listen to people, counsel. You know, we always talk about it, like whatever counsel, whatever is a quote. It's a quote about counsel. Check it out. Just search counsel quotes on Google. It should pop out.
I have it here. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety.
Yeah.
We talked about this in our first few eps, right?
Yeah. And both are true. Both are true. You should be able to prove to yourself, but you should also be coachable. The greatest people in basketball had great coaches.
True.
This is why LeBron, I guess, had always had this issue is because, well, I don't want to get into that argument, but like Jordan always had Phil Jackson. Kobe had Phil Jackson. Mm. They had great mentors. Kobe had Jordan to mentor him. If you look at the documentary, Jordan wasn't the greatest guy to be around. So you have to pick your mentor, right? Do you want someone who's going to crack a whip, or do you want someone to inspire you every day? Both are, to me, I believe in the fact that you need to find a good teacher, and every good teacher has their own way of doing it. So what fits you?
Yeah.
I don't also believe like, that's an old way of teaching. No, I have teachers that I love that way. I just personally love people that do it in the way I do it.
Yeah.
You know?
May I interject? With regard kasi, both you and Justin are trying to make a point wherein mentors and peers should have a say to what you should be doing, basically. Or whether you should change what you're doing, whether you should pivot to something else. My only caveat to that is I agree to the majority of that point. My only caveat to it would be that you should also recognize that these peers and that these mentors are not gods.
Yes.
And that they could be wrong.
Of course.
Yeah.
They could be wrong. And you might actually be doing something that you should be doing.
Yes.
I mean, you don't blindly follow anyone. Yeah. Go just.
Sorry, just. It was an opportunity for me to disagree kasi.
Last words on failure. Something you want the audience to take away from this whole conversation. I love that Danny disagrees.
Yeah. So for me, I guess what I want the listeners to take away from this episode is that failure and success really is, they're both very subjective, because it can depend on your privilege. It depends on where you are in life. It depends on your drive. It depends on your own personal goals and your personal definitions of these things. So I also want the listener to understand that a lot of these terms with which you define success and failure, they're all in your own mind. So imagine what you can do just by shifting your perspective about success and failure, and then see where you can go from there.
That's great. How about you, Jess?
Well, yeah, I agree with Inka, diba? And I realize that the past two episodes, we have thrown a lot of like, you know, philosophical concepts around, big, you know, Sun Tzu, friggin' Machiavelli, and, you know, everything. And like, and these are all good things to take into consideration, of course, right? But I'll always go back to the heart of it, right? It's like, what's your heart in doing it? What's your purpose in doing it? And are these failures teaching you something? Are they directing you in the right path? Or are these like careless failures? Mm-hmm. Because we have to be responsible for ourselves also, right?
Careless failures, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, we owe it to ourselves. I believe we owe it to God. We owe it to our families. We owe it to society to be the best that we can be for the benefit of everyone and not just us, right? And Danny, I don't hate you. I'm sorry that I said I hated you. I was very angry. I was very angry at what you did.
Your and, face.
And here's the thing, right? So even with that, I hate that every time if I get to a point where I'm frustrated and then I act out on it, I know that I'm going to have to apologize after, which sucks even more. You know? which is actually, like, I even have to eat my humble pie.
That makes you a man. It makes you a man.
So I wanted to throw that out also, right? And that's what I wanted to point out about failure too. One of my favorite verses is from Proverbs 16, verse 18. It says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall."
And a what?
Before a fall.
Haughty.
No,
haughty.
I was like, a haughty spirit. Like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Justin, translate in English. Translate.
Haughty pala.
Basically, you've heard it said before that pride comes before a fall. And I take that to be true. That anytime you're out there super arrogant, think you're untouchable, oh, that's probably when it's going to hit
you. That's when it'll happen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So with regard to failure, I mean, you are going to fail. Don't let it faze you. You know, we're human. It's going to happen. But we must be humble about it. And we must be responsible.
Yeah, I agree.
Because of that humility.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Danny.
Hindi kasi, Justin, ano kasi?
I disagree.
I disagree. No,
for me, I think failure should never be the end. And you should always constantly ask yourself the question, is what I'm doing still making me happy? Is that even the reason why I'm failing to begin with? Maybe I'm not happy anymore, diba? And maybe that's why I should try something else. So, yun.
Ako to me, I guess, to wrap it all up, the one thing that I want people to take away is that failure is not an outcome. It's an attitude. It is not the end of it or whatever, because that's when you decide that it's the end. I mean, it's not like quitting, but they always say like it's when you quit. It's when you decide that a failure is a failure. And if you don't learn, I guess the easiest way is if you don't learn from that failure, then you really failed. Mm. But if you learn from it, that turns into a success, right? Mm. So then you never really failed, because that you're not going to regret. As another episode is, you're not going to regret that failure. You're just
set back to a comeback.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess maybe one thing, if you're going to fail, fail better. And I say that because when you fail, make sure that you're learning. Make sure that you are taking counsel. You are asking your friends. You are believing in other people. Don't fail alone. You know, like, I'm not saying like, bring other people down and it'll have them fail too. No, I'm saying
crab mentality.
Yeah.
I know. I'm saying, fail forward.
Fail forward. Yeah. If you're going to fall forward. That's what it was. Yeah. At the end of the day, we all experience failure at one point in our lives. It's not about how we fail, it's what we do after that really matters.
Good. Yeah.
I think that wraps up this topic, failure. I think
we squeezed that one dry.
Yeah. All right. We're not going to talk about failure for like the next 5-6 episodes.
We succeeded in talking about failure and unpacking it.
Consider yourself unpacked, failure.
Unpacked.
Hope you guys enjoyed.
Thank you to everybody who sent in their questions for our topic. We hope that we answered your questions. Thank you as well to those who are tuned in to our live recording right now. We have a Facebook group.
We have
a Facebook group. It's called On Call with Justin, Jacko, Danny, and Inka.
Podcast.
Iba pa yun, ha? There's the Facebook page, like the like page, right? On Call with Justin, Jacko, Danny, Inka. And then there's the group, which is the tight-knit community where we all got to talk about the episode and suggest topics and stuff like that. And that's what we're doing, the live broadcast of this recording right now. So do check out that group as well. If you're listening to this podcast, we want you to be in the group because we want to be able to connect with you. We want to be able to talk to you. And we want to hear your thoughts about stuff as well. We've always said that we wanted this podcast to be more of a conversation than a lecture. So by all means, please do
join the community.
Join the community on call with Justin, Jack, Danny, and Inca. Podcast. Facebook. Okay? You can also email us. It's oncallwithjjd@gmail.com. You can tag us online at On Call with JJD, and it's at Justin Quirino for me.
At Jaco De Leon for me.
At Danny Moini for me.
And at Inca Magnaye for me.
On Call. With Justin Jaco De Leon.